Good. Well, thank you for coming out on this cold morning. And I've got a message of hope, a message of the kingdom, but also a message of reality and how we deal with that. And I'll be preaching on the passage. So if you'd like to turn to Mark 10, verse 46, you just heard, read very nicely for us. We're going to look at the issue of healing, God's answers to our prayers, using the story of blind Bartimaeus as a guide. And at the end of the talk, there'll be an opportunity to receive from the Lord. And if you like prayer, then please go forward during communion or after communion to do that. But first, let's set the scene, turning to the geography of this passage. Jesus is at Jericho in the Jordan Valley, the lowest city on earth, and on his way to Jerusalem. That's a climb of 1,000 meters, over 30 kilometers, or 3,000 feet, over 18 miles. And it's a long and oblique road. And those of us that went on the pilgrimage last year will have traveled through this exceedingly bleak place. For Jesus, after 3 years of ministry, it was also the road that led to the last days of his life and the culmination of his ministry. It was a most important point in the life of a very busy man. At the edge of the crowd, walking with Jesus from Jericho, and by the roadside, a beggar, a blind man, sees Jesus and calls out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." But the people in the crowd just tend to be quiet, try and dissuade him, "Don't interrupt this important man." But he persists and he calls and calls even louder for Jesus to have mercy on him. So he reaches out and Jesus stops and calls for him. The beggar throws his cloak aside, jumps to his feet and comes to Jesus. And Jesus asks him, "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus knows what he wants. Jesus knows everything. But Jesus wants the man to ask to make his question known. "If you ask, you will receive." And the blind man says, "Lord, I want to see." He didn't ask for wealth, for food, for friends, for accommodation. He wanted to see. And Jesus says, "Go, your faith has healed you." Jesus didn't say, "I heal you of blindness," or "blindness be gone." He didn't make an external command. He didn't give him medication or an operation like a doctor would. Jesus confirmed that the faith that Bartimaeus already had in Jesus as Son of God, as Messiah, that faith within him was the trigger for healing. I believe by the power of the Holy Spirit working within Bartimaeus. And the effect is immediate. Bartimaeus is healed, and what joy and relief and hope must have flooded his heart that God has healed him, but God cares. God cares for me. I've been saved from blindness, but through that, from poverty and suffering. God is here. The Messiah has come. And he followed Jesus along the road. Three things to note in this passage. Firstly, this is Jesus' last miracle before he embarks on the great mission to save mankind, his death and resurrection in Jerusalem. So this healing is recorded here as a sign of the coming kingdom, when all men will see the Son of Man lifted up, and all men will see the power of God in his resurrection. This healing can be seen as a visual aid that all mankind's spiritual blindness will be healed, that all mankind will receive sight spiritually. As Isaiah said, "Prepare the way for the Lord, and all mankind will see God's salvation." Secondly, how do we know this is Bartimaeus? There's very few people in the Bible who are healed that are named. Perhaps he followed Jesus along the road all the way to discipleship and was therefore known to the writer of the Gospel of Mark. And thirdly, Jesus interrupted his most important mission to stop. Jesus stopped, important words in the Bible, and he cared. He cared for a mere shouty beggar by the wayside. Jesus knows us all by name and is always willing to stop and listen to us. Something for us to reflect on. So this we know. Jesus is Lord. He listens to us. He cares for us. He's able to restore what's broken, to heal and to save us by his death and resurrection. And yet, what if we ask for healing and the healing we asked for doesn't happen? Whilst preparing this sermon, just over a week ago, my sister rang me up and she said, I'm asking for urgent prayer for a friend of mine. And also, the Lord then reminded me of two incidents 30 years ago in Birmingham when I was a young Christian. With regard to the first, my sister's friend was young, a devout Christian, and newly married. He was out jogging and he'd had a massive heart attack. He was now in hospital on life support. My sister asked for earnest prayer along with many others, and we did pray, but tragically, he died 2 days later. And yet, I know I had chronic sinusitis 30 years ago in Birmingham. I was prayed for. It went immediately, and I've never had it since. Caroline had sinusitis when we were in New Zealand, and we were just driving along. We heard Graham Kendrick coming out of church, walked in, found it's an Anglican church having a traditional morning service. And the vicar said, would anybody like anointing with oil? Caroline did. She was anointed with oil, and her sinusitis went for the duration of the holiday. She got it back later, but at that point, it was miraculously healed. No doubt we all have stories when healing wonderfully and miraculously happened, but also when it did not, and pain remained, and life was lost. The second incident 30 years ago in Birmingham, I was a young Christian, and one of our Christian brothers, Roberts his name, had a withered arm and some mental impairments, and he couldn't work or study. Being young and full of faith and loving him and wanting him healed, a group of us decided to set apart a day to fast and pray for him. And after fasting and praying and laying hands on him for some hours, with no apparent effect, one of us suddenly said, "The Lord has a prophecy for us." And we waited, and the friend said, "This is what the Lord says. I've heard your long prayers." Just that, nothing more. "I've heard your long prayers." But we felt immediately convicted that what we'd been trying to do was to pray and do our way to healing Robert, of trying somehow to strong-arm God to make a good result that we wanted, a loving and a merciful result. But what we wanted was not what God wanted at that time. But the Lord did say, "I've heard you." And we were right to pray, just not at such length. So we thanked Jesus and admitted our shortcomings, committed Robert and ourselves to the Lord's care. Robert continued being cheerful, full of love for the Lord. He thanked us for trying. God did, over time, heal his self-doubt and confirmed to him that his Christian brothers loved him. God continued to bless him, filling with joy, but as far as I know, never healed his arm. Sometime later, though, Robert enrolled in a woodwork class, and one day he proudly brought me something that he'd made with great difficulty and no doubt some help. And this is what he gave me, which I retain to this day. It's a wooden cross. Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem to suffer and to die, to bring in his kingdom. And that kingdom is here, but is not yet universal. The effects of the fall and mankind's continued sin remain until Jesus returns. Pastor John Piper said this: "The decisive battle against sin and Satan and sickness and death has been fought and won by King Jesus in his death and resurrection. But the war is not yet over. Sin must be fought, Satan must be resisted, sickness must be prayed over and groaned under, and death must be endured until the second coming of the King and the consummation of the kingdom." Or as St. Paul said in Romans 8, "Our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. We ourselves groan inwardly as we wait for the redemption of our bodies. But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit intercedes for us. And that's a principle of our prayer, that we want the Spirit to guide us as we pray for people. And yet, as St. Paul continues in Romans 8, we know in all things God works for the good of those who love him. So we continue to seek his kingdom, and that includes asking, for your kingdom come, your will be done. We ask that every time we pray the Lord's Prayer. If the kingdom was already fully here, Jesus would not have commanded us to ask for it to come. Because the kingdom is here amongst us, we should pray and ask God for healing of the sick and the disabled when they ask. And we should pray and ask God daily for daily bread, forgiveness and deliverance too. Because Jesus offers so much more than physical healing. He opens our eyes. He brings light into darkness. He brings forgiveness. He brings daily sustenance. Like Bartimaeus, physical healing is just the start of a road to life in all its fullness. Like Jesus, we're on a road, often a hard road, that leads maybe to suffering. And I'm thinking here of people that we've heard of around the world, in Pakistan, Nigeria. But also to peace and redemption and joy and resurrection. Bartimaeus asked for sight. Jesus asked us, what do you want me to do for you? And what's our reply? Perhaps we can have a moment of quiet and reflect for a few moments on that question. Jesus asks, what do you want me to do for you? If you'd like to be prayed for and to share your reflections or your requests or doubts or grief with somebody else, please talk to the prayer team after you take communion, or with any of the clergy or myself after the service. The Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. His kingdom is breaking through. And I just thought of the first song we sang, I'm a Friend of God. He is our friend. He listens to us. And he's there asking us the question, what do you want me to do for you?